Our subject is fulfilling, discovering, and fulfilling life's purpose. Part two. Discovering and fulfilling life's purpose. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Our objective this morning is to understand what it takes to discover and fulfill life's purpose. We had some generalizations from the morning service. First, we said, the purpose of life is the life of purpose. The meaning of life is a life of meaning. Where life has no meaning, it is tasteless. The meaning of life is a life of meaning. Secondly, we said, success in life is success in purpose. The reverse is true. Nobody can be said to be successful who did not succeed in purpose. The meaning of that is failure in life is the failure to fulfill purpose. It doesn't matter what a person becomes. If that wasn't God's purpose for their lives, it is failure. T.L. Osborne said, success in life is finding what God is doing and doing it with him. Finding what God is doing and doing it with him. Finding what God is doing and doing it with him equals success in life. Success in life is success in the direction of purpose. Number three, every product on earth was created for a purpose. Meaning is, every product on earth was created to achieve or fulfill purpose. There is not a meaningless product or creature on the face of the earth. Fourthly, purpose, or rather, the creator or manufacturer of the product is the determinant of his purpose. Miles Monroe, of blessed memory, said, if you want to find out the purpose of anything, you don't ask the thing its purpose. You ask who created it. If you want to find the purpose of the product, you don't ask the product, you ask the producer or the manufacturer or the creator. The purpose of me is not me who determines it. It is who created me. Finally, purpose is not the decision of the product. Purpose is the discovery of the product. Let's say it this way. You don't decide your purpose, you only discover your purpose. Another way to say it is, your purpose is not your decision. Your purpose is your discovery. What you decide to be is called ambition. What God decides for you is called purpose. This is what I want to be. It equals ambition. This is what God wants me to be. It equals purpose. Your greatest success in life is to make purpose become ambition. What you want to be is ambition. What God wants you to be is purpose. When you take purpose and make it ambition, you are a caterpillar that cannot be stopped. A bulldozer that the devil cannot resist. That is, you took what is purpose and turned it to ambition. You take what God wants you to be and turn it to what you want to be. You are a mobile, unstoppable entity. Too complicated a mathematical formula to be dissolved. That the devil is worse than Fermat's theorem that took almost 400 years to solve. Am I communicating at all? That is, your greatest success in life is to take his purpose and turn it to your ambition. If this is what God wants me to be, then no devil can stop me from being it. If this is what God wants me to be, then I am going for it full length. All the poverty demons in my village can't stop me from being wealthy. If God wants me to dwell in the realm of billions to be able to fuel the gospel. It doesn't matter if nobody in my family has ever become anything. God says I will become something, I must be something. Say a louder amen. If your purpose is your discovery, what is the process to the discovery? Number one is desperation for the will and plan. The will, the purpose, and the plan of God. Desperation. Look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 and you see. Now, in the first service I read Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. This service, Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul the apostle said, not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect, but I follow after. I am under pressure. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That is a sweet way in which the Living Bible puts it. Paul said, I haven't reached anywhere. I am still pushing on to catch why Jesus caught me. He said, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep walking toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Is it the New Living Translation? There was a translation that says, it said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus possessed me. I want to catch why he caught me. Am I communicating? What is desperation? It is desire on fire. When your desire is on fire for the purpose of your creation, then that purpose must be arrested. When there is a refusal to be satisfied with the status quo, I'm tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be more. Gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this. When there is a refusal to be satisfied with the status quo, when there is a refusal to be at ease without knowing God's purpose, there is nothing I hate like ignorance. A refusal to be satisfied with the status quo, when you reject the life of ease. There are those whose lives are at ease, where the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 verse 1. You refuse that, then you are at the verge of purpose. Somebody say amen. That was how my life was. Restless. Desperate. One young man saw me in those days around 30 something years ago. He said, your life, the way you look is like the definition of desire. Passion. When you are at such a point. Desperation is gateway to revelation. Is gateway to revelation. Things are not revealed to the casual. Things are revealed to the desperate. In that night was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 verse 18, 19. Daniel desired that he desired that the revelation should be given. He desired mercies of God. And in verse 19, in that night, the secret was revealed. Revelation follows desperation. Insight follows interest. Very important. Desperation for the will, plan, and purpose of God. I can't live ordinary casual life. Number two is neutrality of purpose. Or rather, neutrality of position in the matter of God's purpose. Neutrality of position in the matter of God's purpose. Neutrality of purpose. Matthew 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not drink thenceforth of this fruit until that day when I drink it in my Father's kingdom. Gone. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Keep going on. Spirit. Just one moment. At the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus cried, Master, if I will not if nothing will change except I drink this cup, not my will, but thy will be done. Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Severally, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Listen. The will of God can only be found where the will of man is lost. Where the will of man is lost. The will of God can only be located where the will of man is abdicated. Because there can be no two wills in one person. You can't hold on to your will and hold on to his will at the same time. Anytime there are two wills in a person, what you have is insanity, madness. One mind says go, another mind says come. One mind says sit, another mind says stand. That is madness. When you allow your will to be swallowed in the will of God, then you are at the position where you can't miss your purpose in life. There are so many people who are where they are today because they think that what they want for themselves is better than what God wants. It will never happen. Wear what you want. Your own plan may be colorful, but it can never be as wonderful as the plan of God for your life. Wonderful. Neutrality of position in the matter of God's purpose. Wherever you may live, Lord, I will follow you. Your will be done in my life. I have no will of my own. Wherever you may lead, Lord, I will follow you. Your will be done in my life. I have no will of my own. Take the lead, O Lord. I'll follow you. Take the lead, O Lord. I will follow you. Take the lead, O Lord. I'll follow you. I will follow you. You know the best, O Lord. I don't know what you know. My future, Lord, is your past. You know which way I must go. Hey, you know the best, oh Lord. I don't know what you know. My future, Lord, is your past. You know which way I must go. Take the lead, O Lord. Ay, 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 ay. I'll follow you. Take the lead, O Lord. I will follow you. Take the lead, O Lord.
I'll follow you. I will follow you.
What a song. You know the best. I don't know what you know. I like this girl, but you know that she will kill me tomorrow. I don't know what you know. I love this man, but you know that he will take me to hell at the end. And I'm struggling to marry the man, but you know that this man will take me to hell at the end. And you say I shouldn't marry the man, but I am insisting on marrying the man. I like to join soldier, but you know if I join soldier, they will kill me before I become captain. And you have another plan for my life. Your future, my future is your past. What does it mean? Where I am going, you already finished with it. You already concluded where I am going. You, because you declared the end from the beginning. You declared the end. So you ended my future before I started to go there. You finished with it before I started the journey. My future, oh Lord, is your path. You know which way I must go. I wanted to take this road, but you know there is a trap on the road. And you say, pass here. But I'm saying this place appears too long. He said, no, it may appear like that, but it is shorter in the end. You know which way I must go. My future, oh Lord, is your past. You know which way I must go. Take the lead, oh Lord. I will follow you. Take the lead, oh Lord. I'll follow you. I will follow you. Take your seat. Many people are in regrets today because they insisted on what is not God's plan for them. They are insisting on what must not. They say it must be by all means. This marriage must be by all means. This I must become this by all means. There is nothing that is compulsory except to go to heaven. Neutrality of position in the matter of God's will. Number three is existence in the mode of inquiry. Jeremiah chapter 33. Now we have Jeremiah 6:16 already. 1 Samuel 38. But Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Questions open the door to the world of answers. Questions. Answers can't exist until questions existed. Questions. That's inquiry. What are you saying? What is your plan for me? Hear this. The asking of question is a confirmation of helplessness. When a person asks God questions, he is confirming to God his own helplessness. And the helplessness of man provokes the almightiness of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace
that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The helplessness of man provokes the almightiness of God. Questions. The asking of question is a confirmation of self-insufficiency and total dependency on God. Self-insufficiency and total dependency. And for as long as answers have not come, questions will continue. Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, just any way you can speak to me, talk to me, I'm hearing. Existence in the mode of inquiry number 4, soaking and studying the word of God. Soaking and studying the word of God. Questions, 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 they provoke answers. 4, soaking and studying the word. Psalm 119 verse 9. 119 verse 105. It said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is the container of the light of God. And the light of God is the guarantee of direction for man. The word of God is the container of the light of God. And the light of God is the guarantee of direction. The easiest way to miss direction is to lack light. When your heart is filled with word, you don't like direction. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make your way, your pathway successful, and you shall have good success. Your way, you make your way. Nothing makes the way like the word. You cannot be inside the way and miss the road. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Loaded with scripture, the scripture will talk to you. You are with a wrong friend around you. All of a sudden, out of the blues, be careful. Evil communication corrupt good man. Out of the abundance of what is loaded in your heart, it starts jumping out. Evil communication corrupts good manners. It's jumping out of scripture. To you. Evil communication. What are you talking about? You go close to the friend. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Really? Oh, so this is the wrong friend. You are moving in the direction of a young lady. Be not unequally yoked. Be not unequal. Unequal yoke. Unequal. I'm not saying that this girl is not a Christian, but it's unequal. It's unequal. It's unequal. It's unequal. Spiritualities differ. Vision differ. Purpose differ. When you are loaded with scripture, out of scripture, light will be jumping out to guide your way. I'm talking from experience. Light of scripture will be jumping out. Take your seat. It's very, very important. There are people who want God to lead them outside the world. It's very, very risky. Because if you are not worded, you may hear directions that are contrary to scripture and you are not aware. My son, the wife you had married was not my will, and therefore I would like you to change that wife, because where you are going now is a new level, and this wife can't follow you there. And it sounds so perfect, as if it is God that is speaking, and was nothing but Satan the devil. See, I just heard God's voice that I should release my wife, that it wasn't the will of God. The only time you can say it is not the will of God is before the marriage. After the marriage, it is a fixed deposit. After the marriage, it is a fixed deposit. All you need now is help and mercy for God to do whatever he can to make sure the woman or the man cope with your life. It's like making, it's like answering the altar call in hell. What will he change? Lord, I am sorry. In hellfire, forgive me all my sins. And you're already there. Did you hear what I just said? Doesn't it sound very, very spiritual? My son, you know, when you were married, you didn't seek me very well, so you married the wrong person. No. But when you are worded and loaded, even if a so-called prophet is prophesying a prophecy on your life, that you know this is not scripture. I'm not talking of even a fake prophet. I am talking of a genuine child of God, man of God, servant of God, but himself is missing it. Because they are men first. Samuel missed it many times. When he was to go to the house of Jesse, he saw the wrong person and said, surely the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, this is not the person. And that was a prophet that will never miss it once. So somebody is talking to you something that is not scriptural, but clothed. And inside you, scriptures are jumping out to confront that so-called prophet. So, with all due respect, I'm not sure of that word. In Jesus' name, it is not. In Jesus' name, it is canceled. Somebody gave me one prophetic word one time. And then I looked at the person. I said, that word is not correct. And then I said, say after me. Now, I made the person to speak and reverse what he said. Say after me, no challenge, no challenge. Take your seat. Soaking and studying the word of God. One very, very notable prophet prophesied one prophecy one time. And somebody I had respected much higher in that realm. And I said, with all due respect, this is not true.
I said, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. It can't be true.
I said, okay. Okay. It can be. Based on the word. Soaking in the word. And finally, establishing the climate of worship. The climate of worship. Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 29. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 29. Earlier on we read Psalm 89 verse 59. This one said, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. First you shall have a song, and then this verse says, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. The voice of the Lord travels in the song of the Lord. You shall have a song. I am not saying that it is not every, I'm not saying that every time you sing, there is a word. That's not what I'm saying. But inside the song of the Lord, most times you will find the voice of the Lord. If you can say it like this, that the song of the Lord carries the sound of the Lord. If you are not without his song, you won't be lacking his sound. Anyway, he can speak to you, whether it is with visions or dreams or any way he is able to speak to you, he will speak to you. True. His sound song. So, if you are very desperate, you are very neutral, you don't have a will of your own, you are in the mood of inquiry, and you are soaked in the word, and you are established in the climate of worship, then you will discover. What are the ways to discover purpose? Number one, through divine direction. Where God speaks to you. Like he spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. When Moses led the flock of Jethro to the backside of the desert, then God began to talk to him and tell him about his life assignment. Can come in form of voice that appears audible to the outer ear, or audible to the inner ear. It can come in the form of spiritual perceptions and knowings. It can come in the form of your, the interruption of your thought with his voice. Like we read in Acts chapter 10 verse 19, as Peter taught on the vision, the Holy Ghost said, this is the first way. Second is true visions and revelations. We saw how the life of Joseph was shaped by dreams. Dreams of the night. Visions, revelations, trances. They point you. In Acts chapter 26 verse 12. Whereupon Paul the apostle speaking, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand up on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes And he went on and went on. And then finally he said, O King Agrippa, I was not, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly visions. God can show you a vision in the day, in the night, where you are seeing your future, yourself, in what you are doing. Number three is true burdens and passions of the heart. Dwell here a little bit. There is a connection between your burden and your bearing in life. Your burden and your bearing in life. What is the burden of your heart and the bearing you are to take in life? There seems to be a connection. Where you find yourself in a situation where what is bothering you seem not to bother anybody. What you are noticing, nobody seems to care about it. Am I communicating at all? Maybe in your family, maybe in your class. What you are crying about, others are laughing about it. It makes you cry. It makes others laugh. It makes you think. It makes others talk. Then you might be face to face with your assignment. There is a connection between your passion and your purpose. There is a connection between your pressure and your pursuit. In Acts chapter 18 verse 5, the Bible speaking about Paul the apostle, one of those days, he said, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. It's not that somebody talked to him, there was just that pressure in the spirit. And then he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That pressure was communicating a purpose, was communicating a pathway to him. That problem that make you cry, that make you weigh down, might be a problem that God has anointed or ordained you to solve. Others are not weighed down by it. Others are not concerned. Like we saw, talk about Nehemiah in the first service. Nehemiah was weighed down by the situation of the walls of Jerusalem. And he became the person. Don't wave aside easily your burden, the passion. Don't wave aside easily. Pursue God. What are you saying with this? True burdens and passions of the heart. Fourthly, true affection and compassions of the heart. Matthew chapter 8 verse 36 to 38. The Bible said concerning Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were scattered abroad and they fainted like sheep without shepherd. Matthew 8, 36 to 39. And he said, pray that for the Lord of the harvest, that he might send laborers to his vineyard. In Matthew 14, 14, where we read, he healed them as he saw them in their multitudinous dimension. And he felt for them. What is it that you love to do? It has a connection with what you are to live doing. There is a connection between your love and your life. Your love and your life. That is why people marry who they love, because that is who they will live with. No matter what the matter is, please don't marry whom you don't love. Because love is key to life. Don't let frustration or pressure. I asked somebody one day about the man she brought or something. I said, do you love her? Love him to marry him? She said, I'm not sure. And that was a very sincere answer. I can't say whether I love him. Maybe because it is time to marry, let me just marry. Don't manage to marry. so that it doesn't damage your future. Hallelujah. What love. My time is so spent, but I saw a woman who said she loved feeding people. She was divorced. Husband left her with 5 children. And she said she loved cooking. And when the visitors came to her house in those days, they would eat the food until they almost eat the plate along with the food because of how it was. And she was stranded, couldn't pay for shop. And she realized this is what she loves doing, so let her start doing it. She exploded. Where she was renting and couldn't pay house shop rent, she had got enough money from cooking and bought the shop. True affections and compassions. And number 5 is true insight from life's experiences. I will talk about that at the end in the 5th service. Insight from life's experiences. Moses passed through the wilderness and God used him to pass others through the wilderness. Joseph was a dreamer who interpreted dreams. And God used him to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. I've seen people who repented out of prostitution suddenly feel the passion to rescue others from that same life. They feel that, in fact, some God spoke to them directly. Go and pull others out from where I pulled you from. So they are now having a connection between what they pass through and what passes through them. Some is even childhood experience, upgrowing, that puts in you a passion. Finally, through the discovery of life's potentials and giftings. Your potential is connected to your purpose. Your potential is connected to your purpose. If God gave you a singing voice, it's likely that one part of your assignment is to be someone who will bring down his glory through your worship. There is that connection. Not to use the voice and lead people to hell. There is that connection. Somebody say amen. What was it that took Joseph to the palace? One aspect of his potential: dreaming, interpreting dreams. And I'll talk, finalize with that in the next service. So by the time you look at all these 6 areas, you should be able to find out what God is saying to you. There are times where somebody will say, I see you doing this or that. The way you talk, you are likely to be such a person in future. The way you speak. So people told me like that as a child. There may even be people who say, I saw a vision where I see you standing and singing in front of a crowd, or I saw you distributing food to orphans and so on, and they see you do this. When people come to you with what they see about you, it must by all necessity confirm what you have in yourself first. Don't allow anybody's leading to direct your destiny. Otherwise, you end in jeopardy of calamitous dimension. Do you understand? Somebody say, I see that girl to be your wife. Say, I see you and I see the two of you. I've seen that vision 5 times. You and that girl getting married. You can marry that girl for as long as the man will live with you. The person who saw the vision. He has to live to ensure that the marriage works. But it is possible for the person to see it and you have seen it first. Or you didn't see anything but you put it aside. Then later on, you saw the same thing. Not because you are thinking of what the man said, but you are just neutral, and suddenly you saw what the person said he saw, then it confirms that this is, am I communicating? What people say to you should be a confirmation of what you are hearing yourself. That was a mistake that the man of God from Judah made. When the old prophet was giving him a prophecy that was opposite to what God told him, and he put away what he heard and heard what the old prophet was saying, he died. He died young. You will not die before your time. That amen has more potential. Give it a higher potential, amen. Ooh! Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Hallelujah. What did you do before you came to service this morning? Because I was crossing the syllabus over preaching. Hallelujah. What is my counsel to you? Please do this in standing because of time. My counsel to you is determined to live in the purpose of God for your life. Determine. Because you have just one life to live. And it must glorify Him. I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all eternity. I have just one life. I have just one life to live. And it must glorify. I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all eternity. Determine. If the tire puncture, you can put spare tire. But if the future ruptures, there is no spare. I was talking with one of my children the other day, and I said, this yesterday that has passed will never return forever. And this today, everything that must be put into today must be put into today. Because today will soon pass and go forever. Must live with that sense of urgency. I say, Daddy, this is scary. No, it has to be. Determine to live in the purpose of God for your life, and determine to pursue purpose without discouragement or distraction. Don't let anything, don't let anybody, even if the vision is slow in coming, wait for it. What God said to you is slow in happening, wait for it. There are times when people will not even believe in what you are saying. And you don't need anybody to believe in you anyway. The most important person to believe in you is God, and then yourself. If you and God are two together, the Bible says two shall agree as touching a thing. The first person is you, the next person is God. Let the two of you agree. The disagreement of a witch does not matter. The disagreement of a wizard does not count. The disagreement of an enemy doesn't matter. Those who saw you when you were growing are the people who believe in you the least. So, what can this one? I knew this person. Me as it can't become anything. But it doesn't matter. It's a new day for you. Will you lift your hands and appreciate God for what you have received? Appreciate Him, honor Him, adore Him. Worship Him. Glorify Him. Father, we give You the praise. We give You the honor. We give You the adoration.